Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 746. I am Chris, and Tony is on an island that we will not name. He'll be back for our next episode. But right now, Jeff is here with me.
I am. It's like deja vu all over again. I feel like we just did this.
We did. But about movies. We did an episode about movies, which you can all listen to on the feed probably before this episode, just depending upon how I edit them.
Yeah, I'm excited. I talk about eating cum on it. It's a really, really good episode.
You did do that. Where's he going with this? Oh, wait, that industry. Yeah. Earl will be joining us, we believe. He said he was. Hopefully he will be there. He will be here shortly. But Jeff and I have been playing some games. There's some news. We'll hold some of that briefly. Jeff, what have you been playing that's not Fire Emblem?
Okay.
Because we're going to talk about Fire Emblem when Tony gets back. Yes, well, we can briefly talk about it, but we're going to hold our bigger discussion for when he's back.
I guess I'll talk about, I did the newest game I've been playing. It just came out, I think, yesterday or something, or the day before. It's, We did our podcast last night, had a couple drinks. I had a day off today, so I went after we recorded last night, had another drink, played some more Switch, and then decided, you know what I need to buy? Mario Tennis Fever. And did I need to buy this? No. Did I want to buy it? No. am I a fan of the series? No. But
how did this end up happening, then? Because there's a lot of no's. Like,
there's a few... There's two reasons I'd say. One, I am now our resident Switch 2 reporter. I just will buy any Switch 2 game.
Okay.
I'm even buying Resident Evil 9 on Switch 2. Like, I just love the system.
That does seem wild to me, because, like, we don't know how it's going to play, but my guess would be it wouldn't play best there. But
it won't be best there, but all reports are it's actually a very, very good port. So I'm just like, that's good enough. It's like I said a few weeks ago or something, like, they talk about when the next Xbox is coming. I'm like, I hope never. Like, go as long as you want, because, like, I think, like, we peaked, like, a generation ago. It's like, what else do you want these systems to do? I don't know. But,
I agree with you. Like, this generation, outside of, you know, the Switch and Switch 2, which I guess would fall in there, it has been super disappointing.
Yeah,
there's really good games, but it's like these are kind of just the same games we played on the previous generation. Like,
yeah, I just don't see, like, look, man, I played Chronos: The New Dawn on Switch 2. I thought it looked pretty good. Like, if I looked, you know,
yeah,
I guess I don't notice all. I'm sure Resident Evil 9 will look better on Xbox and PS5. I'm sure of it. But
yeah,
the footage I've seen of it running on Switch 2, I'm like, that looks like, performance looks perfect. The game looks really good. You know, why not? Like, I'm not like the biggest graphics person anyway. So it's just like, this looks good enough. And I like playing on the system. But anyways, I don't know how we got where we are. But Mario Tennis Fever. One reason is I feel like determined to buy every Switch 2 game.
Okay.
The other reason is, I like to support Mario sports games because I want another Mario Golf. I don't know if that's like flawed logic there, but I want this to do well just so that they keep making them, because I am a huge fan of Mario Golf. Mario Tennis, look, like when the first one came out on N64, that was huge. I was in college dorms at the time and we played it all the time and I loved that game.
Yeah, ton of fun.
But I just don't know where you go with it for, like, you know, they've done a bunch of games and it's like every one of them since, I'm just like, whatever. Like, I've just become a much bigger fan of Mario Golf. And then the last one is Mario Tennis Aces, I think it was called, on Switch.
Yep, on the Switch.
That one is highly praised and well-regarded, and I bought that one and barely played it because I was having trouble with the story mode. Like, I would get to, like, these bosses where they would want you to hit the ball in a very specific area, and I just couldn't do it for whatever reason. I couldn't get, like, I remember I just got stuck on this one boss, and I played it a bunch of times, and I was just like, you know what? Fuck this game. Nobody cares anyways. When people come over, they just want to play Mario Kart. So I never, like, you know, I have no idea how much time I put in the Switch One tennis game, but, like, it wasn't much. Mm-hmm. And so I was not excited for this one, but yeah, for the reasons I stated, I bought it anyways, and it's fine. Like, I don't know, like, it's, do you like Mario Tennis? Like, how do you feel about the series, I guess?
So, like, again, like when it came out on what was the N64, that was huge. It was a lot of fun, but that was like playing with other people. And then Power Tour, which was the GBA game, I was like, this was fucking awesome. Like, it was like a mini, like, little RPG.
Yes.
But it was yeah, on the GBA. And then I've kind of been, like, they're good. Like, the actual core gameplay of, like, they're good tennis games.
Yeah.
But there's not much to them. Like,
yeah.
And Aces, as you said, just, I thought the story mode was terrible. I didn't have the trouble you had with the, you know, being able to kind of like target the bosses.
You played through it.
Yeah, I finished it, but that was it. Like, it, and it's real short. It's like 3 hours long. So yeah, I was not excited for Fever. I want it to be good. I don't know if I'm going to get to it or not.
I mean, it's good. It's good tennis. Like, it's fun, you know, yeah. Right? And I don't know if these are added or unique to this one, but, like, you get different rackets and they can do different things. I don't know how you trigger them. I don't know if it's just automatic. Like, I got an ice racket, and when the ball hits the ground on the other side of the court, it creates a pool of ice, which, you know, could create problems for the other player.
That is kind of cool. Like, it adds, like, an environmental kind of like hazard for them to deal with.
Yeah, but I haven't played enough of it to say, like, if it's like triggered by something or if it's just automatic. Like, I don't really get how everything works yet. Because there's this fever meter that fills up, but as far as I could tell, all the fever meter does is like a slow motion, like, power shot where you, like, you jump up in the air, it goes in slow motion, and you get to aim where you want the ball to go. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that the fever meter is tied to the different rackets and the different mayhem that will happen. I don't know yet. Like, again, I'm not far enough in, but, like,
yeah.
My first impression is it's good. It's fun. I would love, you know, if people come over and, like, you know, we usually play as, like, me, my wife, and then, like, her daughter and her daughter's husband will come over sometimes, and we'll all play a game. You know, we'll all play Mario Kart. And I just,
you know, for the longest time, other than Mario Kart.
Yeah, for the longest time, I've just wanted something else. And the only thing that the kids seem to really like Mario Party a lot. Like, my wife hates it. My wife hates Mario Party. So, like, once in a while, we'll do Mario Party. But usually it's just Mario Kart. And one time, we all did Mario Golf. And, like, they don't understand how to play that. And, like, it's very clear that, like, her husband, like, has just no idea what he's doing. He just got so mad. So, like, Mario Golf is, like, me and my wife will play Mario Golf a lot, and me, my wife, and my friend down the street will play Mario Golf a lot, and we all, like, love it a lot. But as far as, like, yeah, I was just picturing, like, they come over, are we really going to play tennis? I don't know. The good thing about this one is well, again, from all accounts, the adventure mode is basically like the adventure mode in Mario Golf. Like, the last Mario Golf was really just a bad tutorial, like a really long, boring tutorial. I have not played the adventure mode in the tennis game yet, but when I fired it up last night, I just went straight into doing a tower. They have these tower trials. Think of, like, Mortal Kombat, you know, like the early Mortal Kombats, you would climb up, like, oh, you fight this guy, then you go up and fight the next guy. Same idea. And I wrapped that up today in between doing a bunch of bullshit on my day off. And it's cool. Like, the tower's cool. And then, like, It's not just one tower that you could do over and over. There's like three different towers that you have to unlock. You have to. So I beat the first tower and just barely, dude. So like, the first tower ends with this boss battle where it's like three baby characters on my side of the court fighting Bowser on the other side, and he just would not miss anything. You would volley back and forth for minutes, and he would not miss, and then he would finally get me. And so like, it was the first player to like 5 points, I think. Mm-hmm. I was down 4-1, and somehow came back and beat him by 4. And if I had not done that, I'd probably still be stuck on him now and ranting and raving about how this game sucks, but I somehow did it. And so, yeah, the first tower's cool, and then I unlocked the next one, and then there's one after that. And you did, like, going through the tower, I did unlock a couple rackets. I unlocked a couple characters. So there's not just one path to unlocking stuff, which I always like.
That's good.
I will play the adventure mode, because I'm sure you unlock stuff from that. And good Lord, my dog will stop barking. They're by themselves out there. Louis, shut up! All right. Where was it? What was he saying? Where are we going?
You're going to play the story mode or the whatever it is.
I'm sure there's things that you unlock specific to that. And despite the fact that the story mode is bad, at least this feels like there's you know, a few different modes for sure, and there's a lot of characters and a ton of characters to unlock and all those rackets to unlock. So it does seem like there's enough content in it to keep you busy unlocking shit for a while. Once I unlock all the shit, I don't know. Who knows? We'll see.
You do unlock characters, like it's not just like
No, they're not all unlocked.
All right, yeah. So cool. That I do like a game where it's like as you're playing it, you're kind of getting rewarded for playing it. It's like here's like a new person to try. Like maybe
I'll keep
an eye on it.
It gives you that loop that you get like in the first few days when you own Mario Kart, which is like, I don't have it. Like there's actually a game here. Like it's not just the multiplayer game that we're playing over. Like there's a game here with stuff for me to unlock.
Yeah.
First. So that'll be fun for a while. And it just, I question whether it'll get much play beyond that, but it's fine. It's totally fine. I just think that the adventure, like knowing what we know, having played the GBA Camelot games, like, it's just like, why can't they do that anymore? I don't get it.
Yeah, those GBA games were awesome.
I'm sure some people just want what this is. They just want I just want to play multiplayer with it and don't really care. But yeah. I really like the RPG. Like, part of what got me into sports games when I did, I got pretty into some sports games in like the early 2000s is because they were all like that are awesome. Like Tiger Woods felt like an RPG, you know, and Mario Golf on the GBA felt like an RPG. I never played the tennis one on GBA, but
it's really cool. Like you're at like a tennis academy, and you have to like go around to different tournaments, and you have to win them. But there's also in between the tournaments, there's like trainings, and like you're doing school, like your tennis school. So it's like it was really neat.
And that's the thing. It's like they know how to do it, and it makes their sports games compelling as a single player game when they do that. And they just maybe they calculated that like not enough people care about that, and most people just want to play tennis or want to play. You know, I don't know. But it's a shame that they don't get more ambitious. But either way, whether they like bring back the good adventure modes or not, like I just really want a new Mario Golf on the Switch 2. So I'm hoping that's coming, but we'll see.
Yep. Well, that's out now. Is that a $70 game? Or
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything's $70 now.
And it's just like, yeah, maybe it'll go on sale at some point, but you know how Nintendo games are. It's you really gotta wait. So it's just like, fuck it, whatever.
Yeah, like there's not like it might be on sale in 5 years from now for $40, but
I never like this maybe first world problems or whatever, but I never like worry too much about how much a game costs anymore, because like literally every time I go to the grocery store, even just to like make dinner, it's I end up spending the same amount. It's just like,
yeah,
all right, whatever. Money's coming out of my pocket one way or another, and like I know, like the dinner I make, well, that might last me 30 minutes, and I mean it keeps you alive, but the games I buy, no matter how much I play this, I'm sure over the course of its lifetime, I will have. Yeah.
Well, that's Mario Tennis Fever out now. I've been playing a game that Jeff talked up a lot over the last couple weeks with our game of the year. I am now deep in the throes of Final Fantasy Tactics, the Ivalice Chronicles, which is the remake of Final Fantasy Tactics, or it's, yeah, I guess a remake is probably the right word for it. Yeah, I mean, I like Final Fantasy Tactics. I played it when it first came out on the PlayStation, and I played a little bit of this when it first came out, but then quickly moved off to other things. I am now fully into it,
yeah,
and it's really, really good. Question for you. You've talked a lot about the mechanics and you know, kind of like the diorama boards and the job system and all the kind of like the tactical approaches to it. Did you pay any attention to the story at all? Or
No.
Okay.
So good.
I think it's really good. It's the first chapter is very much set up for like. But it's all set up for class warfare, where these rich people are taking advantage of the poor, and you play Ramza, who's the main character. I think he's always in your party for the most part. You almost always have to have him on the field unless it's like a random battle. He is a member of like this. Not a royal house, but like a noble house, and he's friends with a commoner though, and his brothers basically fuck them all over in an attempt for power. So like there's some like really cool stuff going on. Story wise, it's all like class warfare based, and there's like a Game of Thrones vibe to it a little bit. The voice, it's all voice acted too, which was not the case in the.
Yeah, that is what I wanted to ask you, if you noticed differences. I mean, even beyond that, is it like the game, like is the core game pretty much exactly the same, and it's just better?
Yeah, voice acting and all that. They've kept the like core mechanics of it, I think, and I don't fully remember. I don't know if you could skip random battles in, so like you can in this one where you're moving between town to town, for whatever reason, like sometimes you just need to do random battles to level your guys up.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, at some point you're going to be powerful enough that, if you level up more, the random battles start getting hard. Harder than the main game, because they want you to kind of push forward with the story, and if you over level, stuff starts getting wonky in those random battles. But I don't remember being able to skip them in the original, and here there's like a button. Do you want to fight or do you want to flee?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can just like, I don't want to do this random battle right now, and just like continue on your path to the next story bit. The random battles are fine. As I said, you need to do them occasionally to level up, but, I think the campaign, like you're generally within level, like you don't have to do a whole ton of grinding. They've kind of modified that a bit, because in the original, I remember having to do a lot of grinding to be able to advance the story.
I did a decent amount. I'm also might not be as good. Also, that was a surprise for me with Fire Emblem, where it's like you just can't really do that. Like that's not how it is. It's just you're just going.
Yeah, that was something I was wondering is like, because like you are gaining levels there, but
you like, just yeah, like Fire Emblem is almost. I mean, this is true of both of them, I guess, but it's almost like more of a puzzle. Like you have to figure out what is the thing I have to do to get through this battle. Like you always should be leveled for it because again, you can't go grind. So like where you are is where right. you are. But yeah, I do now that like I was kind of blanking on what you were talking about because it's been a little while now since I played it, you know, about a month. But yeah, now I remember there's like an overworld map and you could like just kind of stop on a square on the map and just be like, I need to search for an enemy. I need to level up. Right. Like,
yeah. Yep.
So I did a fair amount of it. Like, I don't know how far you are or
I am. I'm nearing the end of chapter 2.
Yeah. So it'll get harder. I don't know when you played it last, but it gets harder and you'll have to do some grinding, I think.
I did a fair amount like once I reached chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little bit above the kind of like the story enemies, but even some of them, like I just did one in a swamp and I wasn't truly prepared for fighting. And I actually totally forgotten, like if you go into the swamp, like you can get poisoned in there. So I threw Ramza and another knight in there. Immediately they were poisoned. It's like, oh shit. And I don't have my chemist with me, nor do I have a white mage. So best get them out and hope that wears off. The battles can get a little bit tough, but
part of the grinding too, I would say. I mentioned this before. I think last time I talked about the game, like. Mm-hmm. You definitely want to be switching jobs and you want to be learning perks or whatever, like the special abilities of those jobs. And
yep.
So like move around a lot on that. Cause it'll definitely help you in the end. Cause you'll be able to attach perks from different jobs to create like waste that you can't lose, which is awesome.
Oh yeah. There are, I think all of them have like skills that transfer, but you have to like, build it, you have to get enough job points by using them. So like
switch jobs a lot. And they're like that will lead to some of the grinding because you're like, okay, I switched to this job. I'm like really weak in this job. I need to go grind. But that's when you get all those abilities and you could like go back to whatever class you want to be, you could grab the things you liked about that class. Like I think I told you I beat the game by attaching first strike to everybody. So that like basically if someone goes to attack me, I'm going to hit them first and that's it. That's it for the turn. So like, I was like unbeatable.
yeah. You can really break the game if you, you
but I like that about it. That's skills. Like the strategy of it.
Yeah. But yeah, that game's great. I am playing it on the Ally X. So I'm playing it just basically in handheld mode, which is that game is great for that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, for sure.
It works perfectly. Earl has joined us. Welcome.
Hello. What's up?
Not much. How are you doing?
The world's on fire, but I'm doing okay. Doing okay.
I mean, yes, the world is on fire.
The best part about the week, though, is the New England Patriots did not win the Super Bowl, so suck it, Tony.
Unfortunately, yeah. we did have to watch that Super Bowl.
It was not a good game at
all. It was the worst game I watched all year. It was the worst game I watched all year. I fucking
it was it. It's a combination of the ads are terrible because the ads are mostly AI. That Jurassic Park stuff still gives me nightmares. The game was terrible in the first half. It got better in the third quarter, and then the Patriots were doing whatever the hell they were doing. I guess they were trying to make the Seahawks win. The halftime show was great though.
It's literally the only notable thing.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a brutal game to watch. And then Tony,
I think I was texting Chris because I was at a friend's house. And I was like, dude, I just want to go home. This sucks.
Oh, yeah. I texted Jeff and I was like, this game is awful. He was like, I just want to go home and play Dragon Quest.
My friend was, I think it was like maybe the end of the second quest. Like, I just want to go home. I just want to go to bed.
I think we all had that feeling, and we just couldn't bring ourselves to admit it to ourselves. Cause I think everyone just like, this is terrible. Like,
I think because like the first three scores were field goals. It's like everybody's like, no, not even everybody. The Seahawks were getting in scoring position, but they couldn't convert. Yep. Then the Patriots were not doing anything.
No, at one point in the second half, or in the end of the first half, I think they said there was like, they had 9 passing yards and 12 rushing yards. This is awful.
And I love the people that are like, oh, it was a great defensive battle. Fuck that, dude. I watched a decent amount of football this year and in my life, and like that game just sucked. It just sucked. It was not fun to watch.
It was not a good game. It was not a good game.
You have the bloatedness of it.
Yes. I'm always a fan of the commentary trying to make it an interesting game.
Yep.
And everybody else is like, sure, whatever you say, but we're watching this. This is not a good football game. Oh, like, this defense is so... No, this defense is good. This offense is awful. This quarterback, sure, he had like Super Bowl jitters or something. And again, it was not like the Seahawks were this dominant team. The Seahawks would get in scoring position and just not be able to convert until the second. And even then, I think most of their scores were from interceptions.
I mean, it's weird because, like, again, I don't watch every team every week, but like the week before, or like, you know, the previous game, the Seahawks were like fucking awesome. I had zero doubt going in that they were going to win. I thought for sure. I think everybody was like, Seahawks are going to win. Like,
I wanted the Seahawks to win, but you know, I never can discount the Patriots because they somehow pull it out all the time, and I was happy they did not. Again, it was funny watching listening to the commentary, because Curry, the commentary's like, ooh, this quarterback is just, because it was his second year in the league or something like that.
Yeah.
And he just did not have the nerves for this big time spotlight so early on in his career.
And Tony did not have the nerve for the spotlight on him for the show, so he flew off to an island.
The coward.
That's a very Patriots fan thing.
Yeah, just escape from us.
You know what I did enjoy about it is watching like Portnoy meltdown.
To get the guy from Barstool, right? Mm-hmm. Barstool Sports. Yeah, he's an asshole. I'm happy anytime he melts down.
I would also say, and I don't know how much this crossed over into your stratosphere, but it's also very funny because we quote unquote spent like the past decade talking about, like, you know, like all major cities are like these hellholes where crime's ridden and homeless people are taking over, and then people on the right wing had to go to San Francisco for the Super Bowl being like, oh, this city's fine.
Yeah,
it's like every other city, like,
yeah.
Every big city is gonna have like homelessness and crime and stuff, like, you know, but it's just reality.
If your ecosystem all right wing about like how this is all hellhole and stuff, and then you have to go and be like, oh, okay, this is fine.
Survive the scary city. Ooh.
The scary liberal elite coastal elite, whatever the hell they want to be called. But that was aside, and this is my random introduction. What have you folks talked about?
Did you guys watch The Turning Point?
God, no. God, no. I have some dignity.
So I did not watch it. I have seen clips of it. Yeah. I've seen people like get doing commentary about it, but I did not.
I think it was like completely fake. Like, not just that he was lip syncing, but like there wasn't like actually people. Like, I don't know. I saw shots of it where like, I saw stills where there's like literally 10 people. I'm like, what?
Yeah, what is this? It was like, very weird, man. So strange.
Oh no, we can't listen to a guy sing in Spanish. Or, you know, what?
And that show was fun. The Bad Bunny.
It was all, like, we were all watching it. At the end of it, I was like, dude, that was actually pretty cool. Like, and everyone was like, yeah, like that was like actually. And we also all thought the little kid was that Liam kid that, like, from Minnesota, I think.
Oh.
That kid. Did you guys think that when you saw it? I thought for sure it was that kid. He looked just like him.
I did not even, that's not even something that crossed into my mind. Like, that would be neat if it was. I assume it wasn't.
Right? When he goes and gives his Grammy to like a little kid, it wasn't Liam, but he looked a lot like him. And like everyone in the room was like, you know, I'm in this garage full of dudes. And like, we weren't talking politics or any of the current events before this. And we all see that. And we're like, is that kid from Minnesota? Like, I was convinced of it until I read an article the next day that it was not intended to be him or allusion to him even.
But that there was a, I don't think it happened at halftime, but that couple that was there, they were married there at the Super Bowl, and it was a neat show. My kids have been listening to Bad Bunny. It's not music that really does anything for me, but they're listening to it, like, and having a good time with it. So
it's not music I've listened to, but like. I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the show, and super, like, the production design and everything was really cool. I love how it starts. He's got his back turned to the camera, and he's like in a cornfield or whatever, and then he just turns around. He's got the football in his hand.
Whoa!
Sugar cane. Oh, it's not a cornfield. I'm in corn country, so everything's a cornfield to me, Earl.
Okay, as a Caribbean boy, sugar cane is just like I do have me some sugar cane. I thought it was great. I don't listen to music, but even then I was like, oh, this is like, it's one of those things where I don't understand the words, and I will say that, but like, you can kind of like the energy and the beat of it. I'm like, oh, I want to listen to him more often, because it's like really good, like, kind of get up and move music.
They like the first song, like the part I was just talking about, like the beginning of that, I just really liked. But like, yeah, I think it's a barrier for me to listen to that music, because like, I'm used to music being in English. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
even though in English, half the time, I don't know what the fuck they're saying either.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Cause somebody on Blue Sky asked this week, is like, how important are lyrics to songs to you? And I'm like, for me, it's like there are songs I've listened to countless times, years and years and years. And there will be like one time I actually listened to them, like, oh, I actually had no idea what the song was saying.
That is not a like an odd thing either, Earl. Like, so many people that I talk about with music, like, they're like, well, like, what do you mean? I'm like, have you not ever listened to the lyrics of this song? Like,
they should have Bruce on to do Born in the USA.
I was gonna say there are two different types of schools of that, though. There are people like me who's just like, oh, I like the song, but I don't listen to the lyrics. And there's ones who hear the title of the song and corrupt it, be like, this is about X, Y, and Z. And it's like, no, this is the complete like, again, the whole media literacy thing where people know how to read or listen to anything, because it doesn't, they don't realize it attacks their worldview.
Yeah,
it cracks me up though with certain artists, like some of my favorite artists are the ones who are really good lyricists, like Bruce Springsteen, like perfect example, Zach Bryan, and it's like those songs I listen to at least 50% for the lyrics, but I just don't know how you like listen to like these Bruce songs and not get the message out of them. Like, I don't know, it's weird.
I mean. Some people just listen for the beat, which I mean, I assume
it's fine.
What you'd listen to for like Bad Bunny, right? Like you were listening to kind of like the dancey vibe. And I did know that Gasolina song only because I believe that showed up in a Fast and Furious movie at some point.
It's also because that one's in English.
Kind of, I guess.
Because that's a Daddy Yankee song?
I don't know who sings it. I thought it was his song, but
the Gasolina.
Yeah. Daddy Yankee. Yes,
that is an old. Yeah, that is an older song.
Oh,
and I do think it's in a Fast and the Furious. But
other funny thing, we're watching it in my buddy's garage. And like 10 seconds in, there's like a bunch of Latina girls shaking their asses and shit. And my buddy goes, oh, I'm sure the Republicans are hating this. Like, yeah, right.
And they were.
They were watching it, jerking off under the fucking table, probably. But
and again, one of my favorite things is somebody had my complaining about it. And it's like, you had a whole setup for your own thing, and you're still watching this to gripe about it.
Yes, and yes, they still watched.
That was the great part.
Yes, I'm sure we'll get to this in some of the news. But at some point, I'm just like, you folks are just whiny ass babies. Why don't you focus on stuff you enjoy? If you enjoy anything.
I don't think they do, Earl.
They don't.
They enjoy anything. Kevin Sorbo did exactly. He's Hercules. For those that don't remember or are too young to know Hercules and Xena, Warrior Princess, but he's gone completely batshit bananas over the last decade or so. He like tweeted out or whatever social media he uses. Was like, don't forget to change the channel to the Kid Rock show. And then he like followed it up with, that was the worst halftime show ever. Yep. So either like you hated that one or you just did not do what you told everybody else to do. Based on the numbers that they kind
yeah,
of
based on it,
no, people did not. Earl, to answer your question, we talked Mario Tennis Fever,
okay.
which Jeff bought drunkenly, but he did buy it.
It's one of those games I'd get. I guess it's like one of those games. It's a Nintendo, so I know it won't be on discount for another 2 years, but I'll pick it up when it's like 40 bucks on the eShop.
That's what I told Jeff. I'm like, when it goes on sale, it'll be $40, and it won't be on sale for a few years. So,
but yeah, that's definitely when I'll pick it up.
We talked Final Fantasy Tactics, which I was playing. So what have you been playing over the last...
I honestly have not been playing a lot. The main thing I've been focused on, and I think I did, is I want to talk about Fire Emblem Path of Radiance. Mm-hmm. And I will wait for Jeff. Aside from that, I've been playing Fortnite. As usual, I've been playing some Helldivers. We got some Helldivers DLC recently. We got some new weapons, but we also got, I guess, enemies returning from Helldivers 1, which is I forget the names of them, but apparently it's like the giant robot race or the ones who created the automatons. Mm-hmm. So like they're kind of like the big bats behind everything, and like it's fun to do that. I beat Donkey Kong, I think, before we get to the Game of the Year stuff. I played more Absalon. So again, it's been a lot of, and maybe I'm wrong. I feel like the last 2 weeks hasn't been a ton of new stuff that I wanted to check out. So it's just been me kind of going through the stuff I want to do.
It's always good.
Yeah.
Did you collect your Chapel Roan skin from Fortnite?
I have not, because I'm in between Game Pass right now. I will look into getting Game Pass probably tonight or tomorrow, just because I do want to get the Fortnite stuff. And then there's a few games that have come out recently. And I'm like, okay, let me get my Game Pass. Let me see if I can get it, at least a couple of months or whatever.
Yep.
To make sure I can. What am I trying to say? To play some games to make sure, and especially for like what we're trying to do this year with the game club,
yep.
Like I want to make sure I have access to that. The problem is, it's just so. I mean, like even for a year of a Game Pass Core, which is with the formerly known as Xbox Live Gold, it's like $73. It's like $80 a year, which is insane. Because I remember when this used to be like $50. And then I downloaded Overwatch. I've not played it yet. So I'm like, Overwatch introduced new characters this week, and they reset from Overwatch 2 to just generic Overwatch again. That is, I mean, again, correct me if I'm wrong. This is probably the first I've seen in a video game. Not that the things haven't been rebranded, but I don't think I've ever seen a sequel use a number. To just like, no, we're just one game again.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anybody go like, we launched our sequel, which is really just the same game as before. But we're just going to lose it. And it's just, we're just going to go back to the original name. That's wild. I don't think I've ever seen that before. So, Jeff, you back?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you play anything else besides Mario Tennis?
I've been playing.
Hello?
Nope. You all right there, Earl?
My friend was calling me.
Jeff, you play anything else besides?
Yeah, I've been playing Dragon Quest VII Reimagined.
Mm.
I really How like it. It's going well. Like, it is kind of an oddball entry in the series. Now, I'm not like an expert on the series, but I've played a lot of them now, and you know, the minute to minute stuff feels like any other Dragon Quest. And so, like, if you're already playing Dragon Quest 11 right now, Chris, or whatever, you're like, you're in the middle of that, I would not like jump into this. Yeah, but like, there's cool things about it. Like, for one, I love the visuals. Like, I think the graphics are so neat. Like, especially like the character models, even like the models of the weapons and stuff, I think just all look really fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Like, visually, I think it's like kind of stunning at points, and it has this. So have you played Dragon Quest VII? Anybody?
I did not. I know it was a PlayStation game. That's all yes. I know about it.
So it has this premise of like you're a bunch of kids like living on this island, and this island is the only thing in the world. It's just like an island and an empty ocean outside of it. And the story is like you're a bunch of kids. You're like, there's got to be something else out there, and you kind of like discover this cave with all these like altars that like you could clearly put stone tablets into. You go around and find these stone tablets in the world and assemble them and put them on these altars, and it opens up another world. And what the other world is like another part of the world that used to exist, like another island that used to exist, and like you go back in time and fix whatever problem happened at this island, and then when you come back, like once you beat the level, you come back to the present, and that like level exists in the present, and okay. You go explore that area in the present. There'll be changes or prizes for you to get, right, or whatever. And that structure, it's weird. It feels oddball. It feels like how Majora's Mask felt or something. You know, like it's just like this is different. But it also like makes it feel bite-sized, if that makes any sense. Like,
yeah,
it's not one big. Go ahead.
I was gonna say that's what I've heard from again a lot of reviews pointed out, because it's not one big grand adventure. It does eventually become one apparently, but it feels like a bunch of micro stories. And then what I hear
exactly
that. Like people complain about is like with this one, because this is the third version of it, is like each time they take out stories from it, so it becomes like it went from a 100-hour game to like an 80-hour game to like now a 40-hour game.
And it does, I would say out of all the Dragon Quests I've played, it feels much leaner than any of them almost. Like I don't know how many hours I have in it. I would wager somewhere around 15 hours, and it doesn't seem like I have enough, like many tablets left to like fill out, like many levels left to do. Like you can see all the altars there in this special area. And I'm like, man, I'm pretty far in this already. And like, I don't feel like I've played it a ton. And yeah, like that's like the big thing that stands out for me. Like if I had played this not knowing where it originally came from, I would have guessed it was like, this is a remake of like a handheld game, because like it has that handheld game feel.
Yeah.
Where it's like it's so like you said, like micro like stories or micro like micro levels kind of like. Although I guess by the end of it, I'm gonna have one big world where all these islands exist on, and it'll feel more like a traditional grand RPG. But yeah, I really love it. Like, I love the look of it. I love that bite-sized feel. It actually, like, it makes it feel more digestible, I guess, in a way.
I really do like the look of it. It has a
it's
nice...
It's so cool, yeah.
Yeah, it does really have a nice style.
They're like it looks great, like, when you're battling, it just looks awesome in motion. Like again, it's not just the character models, it's just, like, the your weapons and stuff that you're holding look tactile. Like, they look, you know, even though it's cartoony, it just the graphics are just good to me. Chris, what were you gonna say?
They kind of look like little toys.
Yes, yeah.
It's neat. I plan on getting it. I have not started 11 yet, but I was like, so there's differing opinions on like if this is part of anything. Like a lot of people are like, no, it doesn't belong to any. It's like it's a standalone. That and 8 are its own thing. Then there's people that are like, no, it falls in with 1, 2, and 3. It's just like hundreds of years later. It's like, I think
so, because you know why? Because like they just mentioned kind of who like the ultimate villain is, and it's a guy from those early ones, I think. So I'm like, oh, this must tie in.
Yeah, so I was like, probably not like to a point where I need to play them in order, but that was my thinking.
You fucking spent all year.
Yeah. Well, cool. I am glad you are enjoying Dragon Quest VII. Earl wanted to briefly talk about Fire Emblem. We are gonna keep the big discussion for Fire Emblem for when Tony gets back, so all four of us can talk it. But Earl's been playing a little bit of Fire Emblem as well. Jeff has played the most of us. He's almost done. But Earl, how are you feeling about Fire Emblem?
I mean, the long and short of it is, I feel like I've been underrating this franchise. I feel like I've been avoiding this franchise because of the permadeath thing, and that scared me off. And playing through this, I will echo what Jeff said, that it is a game that not timeless, because like clearly it aged, like the graphics and stuff, and the battle system is very not janky at all. I shouldn't say janky. It's very old school. It's very like, this person does there's two motions you can do with an ability, and that's it. There's like a critical, which has a different animation than this a normal attack. But I think up to chapter 10, and even in that short time, I'm surprised at the characters I've grown attached to. I'm surprised at how, I think what it does, and I mean this as a compliment, is it found a way to kind of serialize video games. Because each chapter is like its own story. It's telling a bigger overall narrative, but each one is very specifically like, this is the story of this chapter, and I got to get through this chapter. Whether it's playing defense or offense, whether it's trying to, you know, survive or whatever it is, like, this is doing its thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know what? I enjoy this. We'll get into a deeper conversation, I think, when Tony's back about, like, there are things that I think they fixate on. Like, there are times where, and again, maybe I don't understand the game well enough, where I'm like, I wish I could see the enemy's, like, radius without having to back up, go to the enemy, remember where the enemy lines end, and then go back to my characters. Like, I wish it was possible, like, I'm moving my character. Can I go over this enemy and see, like, do we overlap? Or am I right outside of their striking zone? Because there are missions where it's, like, I want to, like, there's a mission early on, I think it's chapter 6 or 7, where you're, like, sneaking through the forest. And if you don't get out the forest, they will not be alerted. They will not attack you. And I'm, like, trying to get everybody in situated so that, like, once we get out the forest, we can all move as one. But I'm like, how far is the enemy movement? How far, like, who do I need in the front? Because the experience is also based off of who attacks, who gets attacked, who defends, who kills people. But there's also people early on that give you, I think right now is Titania, who she's strong, but you also don't necessarily want to depend on her constantly, because then it means you're not giving up your other characters. And then there's other characters like Mist and Reese, who, because they are healers, they don't level up as fast. But it's also like, I don't want to waste their healing on like healing for like 1 or 2, but you need to get them to heal. In order for them to heal, they have to be one behind, which also means that like, in some way, either they have to move first, or like you move and then get somebody else to push them out of the way of any potential like archers or mages, because they don't have a lot of defense. Every so often, I've only done it once or twice, like you rescue people. But again, we'll get into a deeper conversation about that. The one thing I do want to say And I want to say this up front, and it's something I just wanted to say because I've had it on the back of my mind since I started, not started the game. I think this happened in chapter 6, or the end of chapter 6, beginning of chapter 7, I forget what. Is that this is the first game I've played in some time that has used video game storytelling in a unique, I don't want to say unique, but in such a compelling way, because almost everything up until that point was told through text boxes, like your character talking to other characters and stuff like that. There's a scene where stuff happens, and then it's like, oh no, we're going to do a full CG cutscene for this. And then after that full CG cutscene, it's the character, like, it's like this really nicely painted drawing of like Ike and his sister talking, and like the text box is on top of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I like that you used different avenues of storytelling for video games to like, well, this is a major moment. We're not going to do this in like text, or, like simple, like here's this sprite and here's this other sprite. It's like, no, this is, gets a budget. This is a full CG.
Yeah. Well, that was like, that was like the thing about that era. I remember at the time, like in that era, you know, not talking about this game, but like talking with a friend, like he, you know, games would do that. Like where it'd be like, there'd be more, like there'd be dialogue, text box chatting and both. And then all of a sudden there'd be like a big cutscene. And my friend would be always like, that's like the like reward you get for like getting somewhere. And it's this fucking awesome, like movie looking like cutscene, you know? Yeah. What I mean? And yeah, that's neat. Like it doesn't happen often in it, but yeah, it's really cool.
And that's the thing, it's like if it happened often, it wouldn't have felt as special, or that
it would just feel like a new game.
Yeah, it would not have felt as like, it's a very pivotal moment. Like I will say that's when the game begins.
It's like when the cutscenes felt like a reward, as to opposed to now it's just like games are built off of cutscenes. Like,
yes. And I was, because I was like so anticipating that, and because even the setup to that is still kind of like, it's a text box and stuff like that, and it's like, no, no, now this pivotal moment needs
get your to little be mini movie as a reward for
yes. And I was like, oh man, this is so good, because now this stands out to me more than anything else in this game, because it stood out and how it's built up and even the fallout of it. And I was like, okay. And I'm just, again, I'm just so, I do, and I will say, I've been save scumming, and it's one of those things where I will, okay, I might as well talk about this, because I'm just going to talk about it. Because one of the things the game does not do well to me, two things. One, it does not tell you what a lot of items do when you get them. You just get them, and maybe, I don't know, and maybe there's a button that you can press that tells you what it is. But like, I got like some pure water, and I got some like a Swifter or something. I forget what it's called. I'm like, what does this do? You kick on it. It does not tell you what it does. I'm like, I don't want to use this in case it does something special. I've looked up elsewhere what stuff does. I'm like, okay. But I wish the game would do it better for me. And again, maybe there's a button I'm not pressing that tells me like, oh, this is what this item is. Two, it does not necessarily always make it clear, or it has not made it clear, when you can recruit characters. There's a character in chapter 8 that you have to make get close to your main character, so that your main character can talk to them, and you get recruited. But in the course of the actual match, that character does not stand out to me at all. And there's a character, so I picked up some of the stuff after that. There's a character I missed in chapter 3. I think Chris is past this point. There's like a Pegasus knight that comes in like halfway through that chapter on the boat, and she will attack stuff.
Yes.
I did not realize you could talk to her.
Oh. Because you're supposed to talk to her? Oh, yeah. She
I realized you can recruit characters. I just kept getting them automatically, I thought. Like, I don't
there
know.
Are some that you get automatically, and there's some you recruit.
I did not realize it. That's cool.
Exactly my point.
Yeah.
The game does tell you that, because there's a mission where it's like, oh, if you talk to so-and-so with so-and-so, they might be recruited. I think it's the character who gets automatically recruited, but they do this tutorial for it. But then I think that's like probably chapter 7.
They're like optional characters you recruit?
Yes. Yes.
Where and when? Like, because you're just going from fight to fight, right? Like,
there's a lot of them that you recruit them in the fight, and that's the thing they don't tell you.
Whoa.
Because again, like chapter 8, and chapter 8 is when you get your second mage.
How am I near the end of the game and you're telling me this shit?
That's what I'm saying. The game does not make a good deal about this. Because in chapter 3, there's a woman, she comes on the boat.
It also does not explain to you that they're permadeaths. That like someone will fall in battle and like, I will retreat now. And you're like, okay, I can get them after. It's like, no, you can't.
That's the thing. The only person who can die and the game will be over is Ike. Everybody else, if they die, they die.
Yeah, but it's like, when they die, they make it sound like, oh, we'll see you in the next battle. It's like, no, you won't.
Nope.
They're dead.
It's like, I'm going to retreat to my casket.
Yeah. And I assume some of them are still around for storytelling purposes. But there's also some, what is it? There's a character, again, chapter 10. There's a character that I think it's the first mission where you have to escape, that you have to make sure they get out before Ike does. And that's how you recruit them. And then in chapter 9, there are two characters, the subhumans, what are they called?
The dog people?
Yes. And you have to make sure they survive, because that's when you learn about ordering people around. Because if you just let them do their thing, they would run into a bunch of people and get attacked or whatever. And it's like, okay, there's stuff like that. But again, the person you meet in chapter 3, if you talk to them, which I did not do, apparently comes back in chapter 9. Because chapter 9, even if you don't recruit that person, will give you a tutorial on Pegasus. And I'm like, why are you giving me a tutorial now? I have nothing to use this for. And that's when that cast is supposed to be introduced.
So I missed out on recruiting her.
I missed out on them too.
Okay.
I definitely probably did.
No, because they do tell you, like, so chapter 3, I think, is the one. It's like where they're like, hey, if you go into like these buildings. No, that's the one before. Chapter 3 is the one where like, hey, sometimes there's characters, you want to keep them alive, but I don't think it tells you like you should talk to them.
Yes, you
should keep them alive. I'm going to keep you alive. And
there are things they do not tell you, or it's not explained well. Like chapter 8, I think the end of chapter 8 or the start of chapter 8 is when you unlock the shop. And I was just, I don't think you're far enough yet, Chris, where you get your own base. And when you get to the base, you can talk to people. And that's where you can outfit folks with like different weapons and like get them I forget the healing.
Okay. So I was wondering about that because I'm just like picking up weapons that sometimes drop. And
yeah,
it's like, this seems weird because my stuff is breaking. And
yeah,
does it refresh at the end of the match? Like, I wasn't really sure, but
you'll get a steady supply of stuff from killing people.
But you also eventually open up a shop.
Yes,
got it. But, okay,
but well, the shop for me was I thought it would be like an icon that says shop, because that's what I am accustomed to in the video games, and it does. But this is in a sub menu of something.
It's buried in like outfitting your character. Yes. Like what are your character? And at the very bottom of it is like, oh, press this button to shop. I was like, oh, yes. Thank God! Like I needed my guys. You know, Lance is at like a 1 out of 30. It's gonna break, and he's gonna be useless in the next fight. I'm like, so yeah, you will eventually have to use those.
Yes, but I went into chapter 8. I'm like, oh, I talked to these people. They're gonna set up shop next time. And I'm like, oh, that's weird, because I was like reading a guide at that point. They're like, oh, so and so would be good for the hand axe, because the hand axe gives them range. Like if somebody has like a javelin or a bow and arrow, you can hit them back. Like, oh, I didn't get an option. I didn't buy any. I mean, I didn't get any. And I'm like, oh, no, the shop. I'm like, what shop? I'm like, oh, there's a shop. Okay. So that's hidden. And then the other thing, not hidden, but you don't understand it until that chapter. And even then, I don't think you understand it. Is at some point, you start getting what they call bonus XP. And that's okay. XP.
Yeah. Chris, do you know about this?
No. He doesn't know about it yet.
Yeah,
that's the same.
It's like under skills. Is it under skills or something? Like, there's some menu you gotta go into. You get to spend. Yeah. You get to spend XP, Chris. Like, and you could get to level up your character's shit.
Oh, so I was just like, because I was like this, so there seems like there's multiple layers to this that like just haven't been revealed to me yet. Because it's like, I did not know any of that. And I was like, I guess I just like, I get experience for attacking or defending sometimes.
You do, but yeah, but then like you have some that you could spend on the side and, yeah, and like, so you could level up characters between battles and stuff.
Yeah. I think it's even. I think it's always 100 XP will level up a character.
Yeah. Yep.
But like, yeah, so this happens later on, and it's like you don't know it yet. And eventually, the game doesn't really tell you. It was just, I just clicking through menus. I'm like, oh, there's one that's like skill, yeah, and the other one's like XP.
Fuck around with the menus, Chris. Like, yeah, pull up your menus and you'll find it. Right, but
I think that the next mission I have is the one Earl was talking about, where it's the like run through the forest.
So. Yeah. Yes, and I think there's a character that you're introduced to there that you can recruit. But like, yes, there are a lot of tutorials, but it's also like there's so many tutorials. I'm like, you still don't know explain stuff to me. How am I? Like, what's going on here? That said, I'm still at such. Here's where I'm broken. I'm like, I'm playing this, and I'm like, I kind of want to start three houses after this.
Me too. I said the same thing to Chris. Like on a meta level, I don't want to like talk too much more specifically about the game because we've pretty much said everything I had to say about the game at this point already. But on a meta level, I think it's one. I love that there's a GameCube app for the Switch 2. Like I love that system. And this is one of those games on that system that I feel like really holds up. Like it's like fun to play today, like completely.
Sure.
And what's awesome about that is like this game, if you wanted to like buy the actual game, like I think it's like for a loose disc, it's like $150.
Yeah.
And I just get to play it because I'm subscribed to, you know, to Switch Online. What were you going to say?
I was going to say pretty much the same thing. It's like, I feel like this is one of those games that kind of highlights what's the appeal of NSO, because it is a game. That it released on the GameCube, released in North America, but I don't think, I mean, I know Fire Emblem was not a thing back then. Like I think this is the second game that released in the Fire Emblem series in North America, and it was not a thing. It's not a thing. It's not a thing that gets. Even now, it does not get a huge market. And it's like
it almost bums me out. I didn't check it out back in the day because it's so like I would have liked it. Like it's so
it's
good.
Kind of
like,
one of those things where I'm like, because yeah, there's a direct sequel as well in the Wii.
Six Fire Emblem games deep by this point. If I had just given this game a chance, back in the day. Yeah.
And it's again, it's one of those things where, I mean, you know, Nintendo's not always known for their stories, and that's fine. And so far, this isn't like a super deep story. There's stuff that they get into, and there's stuff like that, and like Ike. Like you go into the kingdom of Galia or whatever it is, and you find
Galia,
out.
Yeah.
And you find out he's been there before, and there's stuff like that. There's a mystery I haven't revolved around yet, and his sister has powers. But like the fact that, again, like more than the story, I find myself so getting attached to these characters. Like Ike is Ike. Ike's in Smash Brothers. He's fun. But like Boyd is my boy. You know, Tatiana, Titania, because she's such a tank. I think at this point now, Chris, or maybe the next one, you use two characters in the next. You use two characters early on who are really good hands, and it's just like, oh crap, they were really like dependable for me.
Yeah, the story seems to be pointing towards like the archer guy and
yes, his those are exactly the two people who leave you.
That sucks because they're awesome.
like I did not like Thorin. Because he's kind of a racist. That's the mage.
Yeah, who, he kind of like, sucks too.
But he's also kind of like he's kind of the Spock of the game, where he's Sora? Pretty much be, huh?
Sorin.
That's a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mage, the one in the black robes.
The first mage you get.
I thought it was a chick.
I thought it was a dude. That's a guy's name.
I think it's a guy.
You got me. I don't know. Yeah.
But yeah, because like they're the ones that let me figure out what they are before I say anything.
He gets pretty good after you level him up enough. Like he's not like You can't have him like lead the charge as a powerhouse.
No, you can't,
like,
because
you can have him sweep up though. Like if you leave an enemy with like 15 HP, he could roll in and fucking clear that guy off the board. You know?
But again, it's not so much his ability, because I guess it's really good. And that's also part of the strategy. It's like sometimes I want somebody to go in and do some damage, but I want like Mia is so damn weak early on, and I'm like, every time I'm trying to put you in battle, it's like you'll do like 2 damage. The person will do 15 to you. So I don't want you in the front line, but I need you to level up somehow.
You got people like Reese who like basically can't do anything. Like, you know,
he's
like,
a heal, yeah. So he heals.
Yeah, I leave Reese in the back, and then when somebody gets hurt, I just like rotate.
Move them to
like,
him, and then
try to like keep him in a safe position afterward. Yeah.
Because he's basically can't do anything else.
And then you get, and then I missed is the other one, the second heal you get, and I like her. But like he, because he's so matter of fact that, because he's, again, Spock, he's like the ones like, no, we shouldn't help these people. We should just be friends with the guys attacking the aggressors, because like the odds of the other side winning is so low that it doesn't make any sense for us. And I'm like, oh, I hate you. But his logic isn't accurate. But again, I think as he softens up as the game goes on, especially his relationship with Ike, where Ike's like, I trust you, I need you on my team and stuff like that. And again, it does the thing with Fire Emblem where you'll get to a point where like these characters will have many conversations with each other. And then every so often you can have conversations with each other on the battlefield, which also helps you, do like, I assume team moves and combos eventually, or some sort of that. But I am so happy, because honestly, if not for this, I think I still would not have played it. And I'm so happy I was forced to, because I have enjoyed it so much more than I thought I would. And it's really just one of those things where I'm like, now I'm like, when is Fortune Weave coming out? I wanted to find it.
It's literally like one of my most anticipated games of the year now. And it's the first series I've never played up until this month. Like, I can't wait.
Again, I played Awakened and I own 3 houses, but 3 houses more for me was just scared off, because like you have to beat it 3 times, and like people are like, it's 100 hours. I'm like,
I never touched Fire Emblem before this. This is like completely new to me.
Oh yeah, right, same, up my alley. Same for me. Be interested to hear what Tony, being a strategy gamer,
I'm assuming you would like it,
has to say about it. So. But we'll talk more Fire Emblem, Path of Radiance.
Tony will. We've already said everything.
Well, I assume that Earl will make it farther.
We'll make it further, and then maybe it'll be like, oh, like this game is awful now, and all my characters suck. But
nah, it's good. You'll enjoy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so that's Fire Emblem. Last game I'm gonna bring up here. Well, it's a two pack. They're both mountain climbing games. I played a little bit of Peak with buddy Daxter, which is a game that came out last year. It's a co-op mountain climbing game where you kind of look like little bubble people. That's fun. It has proximity-based chat, so if you get too far away, you can't hear your teammates.
Friday the 13th style, hell yeah!
Yeah, it's kind of fun, because Dax's brother was playing with us, and he wandered off, and like you just hear him like very faintly, like, and he's trying to tell us what's going on, and we can't really understand what he was saying. It's neat. It's not super technical in like the climbing stuff. It's just it's more like a Breath of the Wild style, like stamina meter, like that kind of like goes down and you climb up a bit, and it'll refill if you like eat something, or but you can also be poisoned, which can limit your stamina. And there's also a health meter. You can actually die if you fall off the mountain and go too far down. It's a neat thing. We only made it to the second biome when I played, but I thought it was pretty cool. And the other mountain climbing game is one that just came out, Cairn. I'm I don't know if you guys have heard about this one. I don't know if I'm saying that right either, but it is a way more technical mountain climbing game. You play as this lady Ava, who seems to have this quest to climb this mountain that's never been climbed before. You have like a little robot buddy that will kind of like help you on the side. But you are doing the actual climbing. Like you are picking paths up a rock face, finding handholds and footholds. You control the limbs like independently. So like you'll like grab with your right hand and try to find a crevice to get your fingers in.
Yeah.
And then you'll try and like hit like your right leg into a wall so that you can kind of maneuver up. It does have stamina attached to it. It is not a visible meter. You just see Ava like start shaking, and if she shakes too much, you'll fall off. You can like put in these little, I think they're called patons. It's basically like where you're gonna put your rope, so that like this is kind of like a safe space for you, and then you can kind of hang off the side of the mountain with your rope through this eye hole. What I played of it so far, pretty neat. It's looks great. Like it's visually really, really cool. And it's all the actual mountain climbing is super tense, because if you get too high up, like, and you either misjudge where you gotta kind of like move to, or if you try to hold on or try to push too far, you can fall off, and she will die if you go too far down. It does have save points. There's three difficulty levels. So there's like an easy mode, which is like a story. I don't know what the story is yet. I'm an hour in. They haven't really given enough of it. There's normal, which is you can die, but you can also save throughout the mountain. And then there's hard mode, which is just seems like, all right, like you can save, but if you die, like you're dead. You start over at the beginning, not at your save point. It's a pretty cool game. I don't know if it's available on, I'm playing it on PC. I don't know if it's like on consoles or not, but it's pretty cool. It might be on PlayStation.
I've seen a little bit of it, and you know, like artistically and stuff, it seems really, really cool. But it just sounds like a nightmare to play. Like
it is super tense, and like
it just sounds like I'm just so afraid of heights that just like do this very technical climbing. Yeah. It's not like Breath of the Wild. I just up.
Yeah, no, this is not just a press up game, like which you find out pretty quickly. There's like a tutorial area, and it's like, oh, climb up this, like you actually start out in like a rock gym, and you're climbing up like those, you know, the little plastic handholdy things, and you do like three of those, and then you actually exit the gym onto a rock face, but it's not that high. And then there's like an actual climb, and once you do that, then the game, like you get the opening scroll, like the title card, and kind of like pulls back, and you see like you're going towards this really big mountain. And once you hit that really big mountain is when the game really kind of kicks in, and it is tense. Like it is, the heights are real. The actual like climbing of it is strenuous. There have been moments where my hands are you're gripping the controller because you're like, I don't want to fall here.
It would make my hands sweaty.
It's cool. Yeah. If you're not into that, then yeah, it's not going to be a game for you. But I'm enjoying it so far. I think it's a pretty neat idea for a game. So that's it for games. We got a little bit of news here.
A lot of news.
I pulled a few things. Some layoffs to kick off the new year.
Always a good time. Always a good
time.
I would say, I mean, just up front, because I think I joked about this last time we were on the show, is I want to play high guard before it eventually goes down. Did not think that the 2 weeks in between our recording session would be when they fired most of their staff.
Yeah. So yesterday they laid off most of the stat studio, which is, it's not surprising because it did not gain a large audience, but it did go from having mostly negative reviews on Steam to being mixed, because they were starting to make improvements and people were coming around on the changes they were making. I still don't think it's a great game, but that entire team, for the most part, seems to have been let go. That's not the only group that laid off people, though. We don't play League of Legends. We're not League players, but they released a fighting game last year or recently called 2XKO, which is it's a fighting game with League of Legends characters, and they laid off pretty much that entire team a couple of days ago. 80 people from that studio are now out of work. So does not seem like free to play, because that 2XKO was also a free to play game, as was High Guard.
Yes, I will just point out, I'm looking at Wikipedia, and maybe Wikipedia is incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
According to Wikipedia, 2XKO came out January 20th.
So it just came out. So like 3 weeks ago. So these free-to-play games are not, if they don't hit immediately, it seems companies are packing things in and moving on. Maybe stop making free-to-play games when the market is already dominated by a couple.
See, it's such a crapshoot, because I agree with that, but also from what I gathered and what I've seen and what I want, High Guard seems like it was trying to be something different.
Yeah.
And I think 2XKO is also trying to be something different. I mean, not something different, it's still, but in terms of being a fighting game, that there are not a ton of free-to-play fighting games that I know of.
No, I didn't know of any. Like, I think
Multiverse,
I don't know how you would actually modify it, but
yeah, I characters, costumes, maybe.
Yeah.
But maybe that was the issue. It's like, but like, and it's like one of those things where part of me is, it's a, I should have looked this up. I apologize. I remember there's a period a few years ago when Nintendo was like, our competition isn't necessarily Sony and Microsoft. Our competition is anything underneath the TV. So movies, streaming services, mm-hmm. tablets, and stuff like that. And people gave them crap for it, because like, in their way, they were thinking, like, oh, that's a bit. And I think that is a legit thing, is you're not just competing with other free-to-play shooters. You're competing with the fact that, one, people have their forever games, the Fortnite, the Apex, their League of Legends, their Valorant, whatever. But you're also competing with the fact that we have access to so much content these days that maybe I want to try a new video game, or maybe I want to try out this new TV show that everybody's talking about. And that is eating up the same resource. That is eating up the same television screen. That you can't watch a TV show or a movie and pay video. I mean, you can. It's a terrible idea for both, but you can. And I think that's the thing. It's like, so many people are like, because again, I've been listening to the podcast this week where people are like, it is trying something different. And I get them all to, you know, and it is from a high budget. It's from a known quantity, but it's, how many shooters do we need? How many shooters do you need? How many shooters do you play at once? How many shooters can you play that are different or feel different? Because people said this feels like Apex. I assume the same way that Destiny feels like Halo. And it's one of those things where I think I've listened to enough podcasts and feedback where I don't blame Jeff for this anymore. I don't think this is his I don't think it was ever his fault, but I do think that the marketing did not do them any favors, and that was a if it worked out, it worked out. If it did not work out in his favor, because so many people were just kind of against it because that was the showcase ender, and it did not like multiplayer games. It's the same. I don't know if we've had discussion before. There's people who are very much like multiplayer games should not be game of the year, and I feel like that to them that is also like multiplayer games should not be a showcase ender. It needs to be a big cinematic single player adventure of some sort.
Sure,
I don't believe that, but this is what
there are people that think that though. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think you can blame Jeff Keighley and the Game Awards for what happened with Highgarde. It's just like
I don't know if.
Yeah, we're blaming you, Jeff. It's definitely your fault that Highgarde failed.
Spacing out for a second here. Why do so many game journalists seem so invested in the success of this game? Like, what is going on?
I don't think they are invested in the success of this. I mean,
they do. Again, like, Jeff seemed like he's invested in it. Brandner Bella, strangely, like, talks about it all the time. I'm like,
but
why is this one game, like, do you have some connection to this game? Do you have friends that worked on it? Like, I don't understand.
I mean, I assume they have friends. I assume you can be in the industry and have you have friends.
Like, is that the thing? Because, like, I keep seeing people.
Well, I thought
the thing was Highgarde. It's like, and literally nobody cares about Highgarde. Like, nobody cares.
I thought the thing with Jeff was, and I could be wrong, was that he had faded early on. He's like, this is something special. And I think that's one of the times where it was his personal taste being like, this is something special and worth highlighting.
He liked the game so much that he gave them...
He gave them the ending. They didn't ask for
it. So there's no, like, sort of, like, weird personal investment other than...
Like, I mean, again, like, who knows? That could happen later on. But it's very much just a thing where, like, it's the same thing that he... Like, to your point, like, it shouldn't have been the ender of the Game Awards. Maybe not, but he was just like, this is something special. This comes from a known quantity. Again, like, these people did Apex Legends, they did Titanfall, both well-regarded first-person shooters. It would be like if Nintendo, if like the Mario team was like coming out with a brand new game.
Yeah, I guess I did not know anything about this game. Like, I did not know it was Respawn.
It's not Respawn.
It's people that
work together.
Yeah, yeah, it's like 60 people that worked on.
Yeah, so I didn't know anything. Anything I saw, I was like, yeah, this just looks like a garbage game that no one will give a fuck about.
I don't think it's like a garbage game. I think it's one of hype and expectations. We've had this conversation.
It's just one of those things where it's like they expected it to make something happen and it did not, and they're still carrying on about it, and it's just like, look, dude, the game didn't hit. Nobody cared. Like,
yes, and that is a problem, I think, with the industry where that's the thing with any, because like we see movies come out and movies come again, so much of a movie's opening weekend, the timer is the story around it. There's a bomb, it's a sex story or whatever. And I think that's the same thing with this game, where people are just like, you know, it came out, it had a really good opening. People gave it a chance, and then people did not like what they were doing with it. And I do think that was something they need to better explain, or honestly, what they wanted to do originally. And this is, I guess, like, they originally wanted to be a stealth release, and I think that would have given them more motivation, because then people are like, "What is this? This is from the Apex people? I gotta try this out."
And so, I don't know if that would have worked, only because it's not. Like, it's not from actual Respawn. So, like, nobody knew who Wildlight Entertainment was beforehand.
Yeah.
Apex dropped, but people, like, when Apex dropped, like, they brought all those people in, or like, hey, Respawn's showing their new game. It's coming out this day. Come to this thing. And, like, people went there to EA, to Respawn, and played it. But Respawn already had, like, they had already done two Titanfall games, right? Like, and they had West and Zampella were the guys behind that, so they had the legacy of, you know, Call of Duty and Battlefield and Medal of Honor behind them. And Wildlight Entertainment did not have a West End Zampella. And I don't know if they dropped it out. Like, I think it would have been even more flat. Like, I don't think anybody would have talked about it at all. Which maybe helps them, because they wouldn't have had to, like, they probably ramped up servers expecting more people, maybe spent more money to get it there, but they didn't market it like outside of the Game Awards. That was the big talk going into.
No, but I think, again, that's what I mean. I think that's the issue too. It's like the Game Awards, and then there was nothing until the day it was coming out.
Yeah.
And it's like that, because then people are like, why was this the end? Or like the big thing he was talking about, like, this game's coming out soon. You would think like, okay, we got 6 weeks. We're going to just like push. It's like, no. It's dead silence, and then people are like, what is this game? That momentum killed them. And
yeah.
Again, I'm not gonna, you know, and again, technically it's not dead yet. No,
the game's still alive. The team is just basically
does not usually bode well for the game, but and it's that's one of those things where it and like the two X KO, it's like, because these came back to back, and it's just to the point now where you just drop a game, and there's no guarantee you have a job. And I think that used to be an expectation. It's like you'd wait a while and make, okay, this game didn't meet the expectations. It's like, no, your game came out a week ago. This game is out. You're done. You're bench. You know, you're out of a job, and it sucks. It's a terrible, terrible industry that. There's no quick and easy solution. There's no way to be like, oh, you know what? Make cheaper games. We've seen cheaper games fail. We've seen new games fail. Like, it's like, make a new IP. We want that. People want what they want. And then the other thing we don't talk about as often is the video game industry is not growing. It hasn't grown in about 10 years. And I mean this in the sense that it's not bringing in a ton of new people. A lot of people have, like, they have their mobile games, they have their PC games, they have their Minecraft, their Roblox, their Fortnite, and they're kind of content with that. And it's not, you know, like, the people buying PlayStation, Xboxes, and Switches are the people like you and I and Jeff, who we've been buying this for all of our life. This is what we know. We will buy the next set of systems, but it's not that there's new people coming in.
Right. And even if there are new people coming in, like, look at the top 10 games from like the last 5 years. They're generally the same games. Like people are, if they are buying into the marketplace, they're buying in to play Call of Duty, Madden, Battlefield, Grand Theft Auto, Mario Kart.
Yeah. And that is, and that the sad thing is that that's almost uniformly across the globe. Like, you replace Madden with EA FC in Europe or something like that, and it's still pretty much the same list.
Fortnite and Roblox and
Minecraft
are all at the top of like those games that they're like forever games that people just don't move off of.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't fault them. But it's one of those things where gamers are not going to accept it, because gamers want to be catered to. And that, you know, it's your industry, you get catered to. But at some point, people need to start thinking outside the box. And I don't think that box is necessarily like, how can we get people to pay our game over this other game over and over again? And that's where we are with Highguard and 2XKO and all the other games that we've seen in the past 5 years that we are going to be the next big games as service, or we're going to be the next big live service game that does not take off, because you're trying, you're navigating the trench run and the Death Star. You're trying to hit this pinpoint, you know, accuracy shot while being attacked. And it's, you know, like, I was listening to Kind of Funny today. It's not, because it's like, you know, like, these games are coming out, but you have a game like Overwatch. Overwatch has an audience. Overwatch has a built-in audience that enjoys it. Overwatch is relaunching this week. That's taking away some of that thunder of people like, oh, I could try this new game, or I could see what Overwatch has to offer that I know I've enjoyed already.
Yep. And how long has Marvel Rivals been out now?
A little over a year.
Yeah, so like that's another game that's eating up, like the like taking up oxygen from these multiplayer games. Like, there's only so many games that people can play.
Yeah, I would even say something like, again, I would say something. What was it today? Diablo 2 and Diablo 4 getting like a new character cast. It's not like, oh, I need to dust out Diablo 2 and try out this war character. And it's, you know, you can't plan around that. Like, you know, everybody can plan around GTA or, you know, like The Last of Us or whatever it is. But being like, oh, I'm going to launch this game, and like 2 weeks later, Overwatch is going to rebrand, introduce 5 new characters, and get people talking about it again after, you know, like 2 years. A Marvel rival has their Valentine's Day special. And yeah, you think that's not a big deal, but it gets people who, again, who are invested in Marvel Rival. Like, I played this game with my friends a couple of times. Oh, this, here's Gambit and Rogue. I want to check out their new costumes. That, even if it's like an hour or two, that is a game they redone. That's what they focus their energy on. We don't have time for something else.
Before we wrap up here, Sony had their State of Play today. It was very long. I think it was like almost an hour.
Yeah, a little over. I didn't get to see it, but looking at the headline, it was a little over an hour. It seems like a lot of people came away happy with it.
Sure. I mean, there was a lot of games. Some stuff we already knew about. Like, they showed Resident Evil Requiem. They showed Pragmata. They announced a new Kena game. I don't know if you guys played the first one, Bridge of Spirits, or which was out on PlayStation and PC for a while. I think it finally did come to Xbox in the last year or so. They're making a sequel to that, Scars of Kazmura. Death Stranding 2 is coming to PC. They're doing a Legacy of Kain Defiance remaster, which I'm kind of excited about. That's the thing here, is the stuff I'm most excited about are like re-releases and remakes and remasters, like, because nothing else was like, oh, that's super interesting or like super necessary for me. But like, there's a Rayman 30th anniversary edition coming tomorrow
actually. Yeah,
there is a Metal Gear Solid Master Collection 2, which I'm excited for, that just simply because Metal Gear Solid 4 has been locked on the PlayStation 3 since its release. And it's finally moving off of that. So now you could play that game anywhere. And it's also coming with Peace Walker, which has released elsewhere before. But there's a new Castlevania game, 2D, called Belmont's Curse. I'm hoping that turns out well. It is a sequel to Dracula's Curse, which was Castlevania 3. New Silent Hill game, which isn't... It had already been revealed, but it's the first look at the gameplay for it, so that was cool. There's a God of War trilogy remake that they showed no gameplay of.
That you're super early on in the production.
They just announced that it's coming. They did release a new God of War game though.
Which it is interesting.
It's a 2D.
It's a 2D side scroll. You'll beat it. Because what there was also the what was the other thing? Because it was the Castlevania game for the Dead Cell people. That's what it reminded me of. Or the Prince of Persia game, not the Lost Crowns.
A little bit, yeah. Like I guess the art style is. Was not impressed with the art style, but
I would piggyback off of Earl in that I watched the trailer for that and I was like, how would I describe how this looks if they haven't seen it? And it's just what Earl said. It looks like a modern 2D. You know.
Yeah. Did you think there was like platforming? It kind of just looked like a straight like.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw parts where he's like using his thing. They, like hook across the
It looks like Super Castlevania 4 in a way, like, but like, you know, just modern art style. I don't know,
for the God of War game.
No,
the Castlevania game.
Yeah. The God. Oh yes. Oh, I thought we were talking about the God of War game.
Okay, maybe we were. I don't fucking know.
But yes, I think that again, it's one of those things. I mean, the good thing is out today. Which is always, I do enjoy good stealth drop. It's so weird to see Kratos as like a normal person.
He looks like a kid. Like, I mean,
is it Boy of Sparta or something like that? Or Son of Sparta?
Sons of Sparta, yeah.
Yes. So I was like, it's such a weird thing to see. Like, because we were talking about this at trivia. I'm like, right, because like Kratos, he's a full grown adult by the time you meet him. And he makes mistakes. It's fascinating to see him as a disaster case event, essentially.
They showed off a little bit more of Marvel Token, the new fighting game.
Yes.
And yeah, so that was about it. That was the state of play. Anything else you guys kind of noticed from the week?
I mean, it was a Nintendo Direct last week. I mean, nothing too impressive. Pokepedia, but yeah, I don't think there's anything major. Yeah. It's weird because like you would think every 2 weeks that there'd be more news, but
well, it's beginning of the year, so I guess maybe things are Things will start ramping up once we get into March. I think that's where we're start. Well, there'll be releases in March for the quarter end, and then we'll start hearing things about, you know, what's going to be going on in May and June. So, but we'll be back in 2 weeks. Tony will be here to talk about Fire Emblem. Earl and I will have Doom. So I'm sure Jeff and Tony won't watch that. Although Tony would.
I'm sure Jeff will watch it. Jeff's a big fan.
Of course. Yeah.
He loves The Rock and Carl Urban.
And his BM. What is it called?
I want to watch The Pit or do I want to watch Doom?
Doom. Watch Doom.
You could fit it in, Jeff, between our cyborg and what was the other one we're watching?
Nemesis.
Nemesis, yeah. Fit it in between those. But yeah, we'll be back with that. Maybe our final thoughts on Fire Emblem, Tony's thoughts on Fire Emblem, and we'll pick a new game for us to play in March. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.
And that.